Blog Talk Radio.
We don't need to utter but three words. Tell this nation what we are talking about. They don't need words. You don't need to have a great vocabulary to utter. You don't need to have a philosophical bent to grasp. They are three little words. And we want to let the world know that these words describe what we mean and what we are determined to do about racial injustice. We don't want a few token handouts here and there. We want all of our rights. Telling us to slow up. We can hear voices telling us to cool up. Our only answer in conversation turn must be that we have cooled off too long, and if we keep cooling off, we'll end up in a deep freeze. We must go on and say, no, what we are saying to this nation is that we want all of our rights. We want them here.
What your life can truly be. Shining star for you to see. What your life can truly be.
We're
we're moving.
No stopping us now. Ain't no killing us now. Ain't no starving us now. Ain't no denying us now. We got resilience and we're going to keep going and on and on and on and on and on like hot butter on the popcorn. We ain't stopping. Hey, you brothers and sisters, it is Thursday night and y'all know what that means. Y'all with Neo Nation. Weekly conversation with the man himself, Jaquan Diaz. But I see we have the one and the only, the co-host with the most. He's a guy that co-hosts more shows. Wow, I'm losing my thoughts, my way of speaking. More shows than Ed McMahon, the man himself, the man with the plan, the brother like no other. You better listen and you better ask somebody. Nobody, no one, any, the one and only Shalik Reed. Let's give him a nice hand, bring him on. Ah. Yeah.
Hey, yo. Hey, yo. What's up? What's up? What's up? How's everybody doing out there? Dr. Robinson, what's going on? How's
man,
going,
I am here. I is here, like we say back in South Carolina. I is here. I'm just absorbing and just inspecting, investigating, and just looking out throughout this place we call the United States of United States of America. And I'm just
right.
Looking out
United.
And I'm just checking out what's going on. You know what I'm saying? So many things happening. And I don't know if you got, I sent a tape out to everybody, a videotape, ex-cop confessing the sinful nature, ex-cops confessing those things which is wrong with the police department. And it seems that he's done a little confessional. Maybe he's
right.
Catholic.
Oh, so he's
I don't know if you got a chance to look at the video.
I didn't get a chance. I'm gonna check my email. I think is this like pertaining to like the blue code of silence? Is that in reference?
Yeah,
to that?
It's the ex-cop. He's on YouTube.
Yeah, you gotta always remember the ex part because this is when he starts revealing shit.
And... I'm trying to remember the title here. I'm gonna look it up here, and I'm gonna get it for you. Ex-cop explains. Explains the failures or something in the police department. And I guess if you go to ex-cop of Philadelphia, captain retired. Ex-cop speaking about racism in the police force. Ex-cop speaking about racism in the police force. This is a Captain Lewis.
Right.
Captain Ray Lewis. And he just sitting there talking about how he got, he said it's a culture. He said his first experience with being violent in the uniform of a police officer. So he said his first experience was he smacked somebody. And
right.
Then, you know, the guy got him very angry. He smacked him. Then the next thing he knows, another guy says something, and he grabbed him and threw him against the wall. And I guess it got a little excessive. You know, it got a little, you know, became a part of his DNA, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
And so he said
right.
He found himself just smacking, kicking, hitting, just telling people, don't you ever ask me why I stopped you. Get the hell out the goddamn car. You know, so it went from, you know, that. And then he said, smack, smack. Can y'all hear that? Smack, smack.
Yeah.
So he said, smack, smack. What am I doing? This is unprofessional. This is not nice. You know, I don't know if he's going to run for mayor or something. You know, it just seems like he's trying to confess. He seemed a little arrogant, not remorseful to me. But I want everybody else to look at it because I want to get other opinions in myself. You know, I can tend to be a little biased going through the hell I've been through in this country for the last 70 years. And growing up in the Jim Crow laws, segregated South Carolina, I probably, you know, I have a little something in my heart. I don't hate people per se. But damn show, don't mess with me. Don't make me have flashbacks. It's like coming out of Vietnam, you know, and people start to shoot guns. You're like, wow, what's going on? You know, you have flashbacks.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And I've been through so much hell, I have flashbacks. And I try not to take it out on people. I try to differentiate between an ignorant person who has no talent, no possibility, just like the brothers say, ain't no stopping us now. There are people, they're just negative. They got nowhere to go. When you ask them where they're going, they don't know where they're going, and they don't want you to go nowhere. So like I tell my children, you know, you got to bypass those people, and ain't no stopping us now. We got to keep going. So I want to encourage young brothers and sisters, whatever your aspirations are, whatever you see yourself doing, don't let nobody, you know, talk you out of it. Don't let nobody demean you. Don't let nobody, you know, make you feel like you're stupid because you want to do something that they don't want to do or they can't do. Ain't no stopping us. Just keep on doing it. You know what I'm saying? Just keep on going, doing what you got to do.
Right.
And definitely, you know, Maya Angelou used to say something years ago, and she kept saying it even concurrently before she died. Make a lot of sense to me. She said, if it don't kill you, it'll make you stronger.
It'll make you stronger. That's right. What don't kill
brothers
you, make
sisters,
you stronger.
Brothers and sisters, if, you know, my father had a saying, you know, but dad was angry as well. But my father had said, when you're fighting, if a person don't kill you, go back. Make sure you finish it, you know.
Right.
Go back, boy. He ain't kill you. Go back. You eye all busted up and you're back. You know, you're like, wow, I got to go back now? No, let me take a break. At least a box and get some water, you know, get pat down, get to sit. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
My father said, go back right now. You ain't dead. Go back and take care of that business. So I grew up in a situation, man, where I had that hardened heart. If you did something to me, you know, and I was a skinny kid with glasses, so obviously everybody assumed that I was, you know, vulnerable. Like, you know, oh, yeah, get that skinny nigga over there, the glasses, get him, you know. But they don't know. Fire. I came from a crazy household, so I had a little craziness in me. But God has opened my eyes up to a lot of things, and, you know, he's made me a man of kindness, meekness, humbleness, and I try to do everything. You know, I told my sister today, I said, I ain't perfect. Lord knows I got a long ways to go. If you ask my three ex-wives and my 6 kids, you're going to find a whole bunch of stuff. So I'm just going to tell you right now, before my kids get on this radio and start talking, I'm going to tell you right now, Ron Robinson ain't perfect. I got a whole bunch of luggage. I got a whole bunch of problems. But brothers and sisters, I try my best. I try my best. Mm-hmm. Lord knows. My daddy used to tell us, I don't care what you do. You can sweep the streets. Do your best. And that's how I was brought up. And I do try my best. You know what I'm saying? I try to be a good father, good husband, whatever. Good friend, good uncle, good brother, good next door neighbor, whatever. You know what I'm saying? And sometimes I fail, you know, part of life. And sometimes I achieve, you know. But I try my best, you know. So, Shalik, whatever I did to you, I try my best.
we all work in progress, man. We all a work in progress. I'm definitely with you though, man. I mean, that's what life is about, man. It's just being able to, you know, try to bring out our best qualities, man, to contribute to the world. So I'm with you on that, man. None of us is perfect, but we strive to bring out our best, and that's what's most important, man. Yeah, I'm listening, though. I'm listening.
Yeah, man. Yeah. I want you to dialogue tonight with the people as well. I just wanted to say, you know, a couple of things from my old head, as the young people say. You know, you got that gray on your head, y'all with the gray on the head, your old head, don't forget. Young people won't let you forget it. OG. Other person's girl. I don't know. I don't know what that goes for anyway. But the deal is this. Oh, listen, people. God is good. And the Bible says something that's great wisdom that we don't really, even those of us been in church all your life, and I'm one of the people that thing that God said passed me by. He said, live a life pleasing unto me, and I shall draw all men to me. And you know, that's interesting, because he's saying, don't please people, please me. Do things for me. That way when people disappoint you, you don't feel that bad. That's when your kids disappoint you, your wife disappoints you, your husband disappoints you, your homeboy, your homegirl, your besties, young people say now, your best friend disappoints you. You know, God said, you know, please me. And I'm learning, you know, to try to put my, you know, live a life pleasing unto God, please God. Because, man, the Bible said flesh is never satisfied. So you can't satisfy the flesh. It's going to always be something else. You see people, y'all, they got zillions and zillions of dollars and they can't stop. They want more. You know, Elon Musk surpassed Bezos of Amazon to become the second trillionaire. And he's still working and buying to make more. When you get satisfied, you get a trillionaire. I mean, those numbers don't even, I bet the banks are like, okay, let's see, can we get that in the account? You know? Because you know, banks only, y'all know banks only secure up to $250,000 FDIC insurance. So they probably got to put that in like 100,000 banks, you know. You take a little bit, you take a little bit, you take a little bit, you know, because this stuff get lost. We in big trouble. So You know, people never satisfied people. And motivation is a wonderful thing. I know a lot of us are motivated athletically, a lot of young cats, football, basketball, baseball, soccer, swimming, track and field. You know, a lot of young cats get into those sports, and, man, you're motivated. You know, you're motivated to be the best, and that's good. That's good motivation. You know, not satisfying for second place, third place, fourth place, trying to make that number one shot. I can understand
right.
that, and that's beautiful. That's beautiful, and that's what you need to do. That's what you. That's how you need to let it go down. So, I'm motivated too. I wasn't motivated for sports because I wasn't that good. You know, I was fast. I was fast. The only reason they wanted me to carry the ball or run somebody down or, you know, without playing football, they're like, oh, yeah, yeah, give it to Ron. And Ron, you give it to whoever's better than me. But I could run. I could track and field. I kill them. I was fast. Man, I was fast. They say, Ron, let's go in the bank and get some, you know. I'm just kidding with y'all. I'm just kidding with y'all. You know, but I was fast. And that's what, you know, when you young and you find you got a skill that makes you a part of the in crowd, you know, the girls and the boys that are popular, you know, you get the good looking girls and the athletic boys and, you know, and you want to be a part of that popular group in the neighborhood. And that's how I got in, my fastness, you know. You know, they let me, oh, yeah, man, Ron is fast. And so you take what you have. And the reason I said that, it's because even though I didn't have the other qualities that a lot of these cats had, you know, a lot of cats had good swag, you know, they know how to rap and all that stuff, you know, and I'm fast enough to take that girl and keep running. No, I'm just kidding. y'all got me here tonight. But anyway, what I'm saying to y'all is this. I take whatever I had to use it to get what I want, and that's how life is. All of y'all got a quality. Everybody got something that makes them above the next person, and take that God-given quality and use it. You know what I'm saying? Use it to the best of your abilities, you know. And we're going to have our brother Shalik throw down some wisdom on us as well.
Yeah. Basically, man, I agree with you. I'm definitely with you on that, man. The qualities, man, that we all have been blessed with, man, to contribute to humanity, to the family, to the community. And it's funny that you mentioned that, you know, in retrospect, concerning your ability, and acquiring a skill set or not feeling so, you know, your skill set didn't satisfy a certain career or certain field. But, you know, everybody is, I come to realize everybody, like you said, I agree, everyone has the ability to contribute something, man. I mean, I remember when I used to play inside of the institutions, I used to play the keyboard. One of the biggest challenges in the steps was being able to be available in terms of my skill set, which I was in the process of developing. I mean, a lot of people they would go into church services for different reasons, man. And that was the one thing we had in common besides being all prisoners in the institution. We all had something to contribute in terms of the condition, to rise above the condition. We all would go to, you know, not everybody went to church. Some people found their peace and the mosque. Some people went to Jehovah's studies. Some people went to Buddhist studies. However, the path that an individual had chose to pretty much develop themselves and to develop a balance of spirituality and morality, it became one of those life principles that were applied in everybody's life, man. And it's funny how a person can see the social dynamics of people when they're placed in one environment, and it's a controlled environment, and you're able to see the forest from the trees, so to speak, in terms of the examples that are set before you. And it's funny, it was so deep, man, because I remember being in the there was like an Eastern, they had what they call a multi-purpose building, which they still have. And, you know, the facility would put the Christians with the Catholics in terms of the religious belief under Christianity, Christendom, as they would call it. And the Muslims had their own, and they had to pretty much share it with the NOI or, you know, or other Muslim or Islamic centered beliefs, which they were all different. So it's like you start to see the isms and the schisms. You're like, wow, I didn't know that in a Muslim community, this group didn't get along with this group. And then you had, you know, people who, you know, they're not, the NOI is not Muslim because they don't do things, they don't do this, that. The point that I'm trying to make is that I wanted to share my experience in playing the keyboard and the skill set, but it's all revolving around our roles in society. And the roles that I'm just trying to say is that is that in our journey in life, we have to come to realize that there are many influences, both inner and outside of our direct contact with people, the community, our own selves. We become our first enemies, and when we begin to be so conditioned and doing certain things, society sometimes even turns us around and says, "Hey, man, you can't do this." You know, this is what civil rights is about. This is so powerful because it goes back into skill set and role, and what is our role in society, and why is it that we can't do certain things, and then some people are willing to challenge the status quo. And everybody's not built for it, but for those that do challenge, they were made to challenge. They were created with that ability to bring forth something new, to help the next generation to push forward into a development or future development so that they can add on and so forth. And so I remember just how I when I first entered into the spiritual setting, I would say, I was just coming just to hear something positive because there was so much negativity around me that I had chosen to take steps. And in my role to do that, I had to also shun ignorance. I had to be able to say, nah, 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 or find ways to be not arrogant, but be tactful in my approach. And tactful meaning being careful and how I would not offend, but still stand in who I am in terms of what I'm trying to accomplish for my well-being and what was beneficial for me, because I know that I was not willing to jeopardize the things that I was investing in myself at no cost. And so, because I took I began to look at life as something that I took for granted. And in essence, I come to realize that life is really short, man. With all of the tactics, I mean, or not tactics, but all of the strategies, all the warfare things that are going around us. I mean, and what I mean, to be specific, that warfare is all around us, mental warfare. There's a war going on within my own mind. The eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth. If you do something to me, I do something to you type of mindset. And I begin to read different philosophies and understand that, hey, there's nothing wrong with my approach in terms of trying to grow and develop, but it is something wrong with my approach if I lash out and I destroy myself and sometimes the person that or the entity, so to speak, may not, you know, may have an expectation of me to carry out certain functions so that I do destroy my own well-being at the sake of them being satisfied. So I begin to take different approaches and steps to say, hey, man, you know what? violence is not cured with violence, but it's always a component that can be prepared for in case, you know, there's a difference between a person violating and protecting themselves. And that's when I begin to say, hey, man, you know, I don't have to be subjected to certain things. And what I am what I put in my thoughts. So when I start rearranging and transforming my thoughts, then I can just walk in the light of the path that's positive, and I can continue that journey without wondering or being concerned about others, but trying to be an example. So now I go into the church, and I didn't initially start playing. It took some time, but I had to take steps into the skill set that I was trying to get involved with, and I had to know why I was getting involved with it. So I came in this church, and I started getting involved with the choir. And slowly but surely, I started learning how to develop to hold a note. I still don't know how to hold a note too tough nowadays, harmony-wise. So I don't believe that I'm a good singer, but I am thankful for the opportunity and the experience. And then after a while of pushing forward in the struggle or the journey, instead of choosing myself, I began to understand how I was being prepared on a spiritual journey to be able to be utilized a community atmosphere without focusing on other people's blemishes and spots, but to understand that, hey, you know what, those spots and blemishes are necessary so that we can understand, so that I can understand where I want to be. Because I come to understand it's different levels. And it's like I didn't want to just be a Sunday church goer. I wanted to be the type of person that, hey, I want to see that I was causing an impact in my own life, a positive impact in my own life, and a spiritual impact in my own life is first. And then I didn't have to actually speak the word to a lot of people. I just noticed that a lot of people were inquiring to me about how do I get what you got? How do I get that peace that you seem to resemble, where you're not bothered or concerned with things around you, but you're focused, and your focus is on spiritual maturity, spiritual balance, and basically, I became a source of help, a resource of help for those people, because when they wanted that positive influence, they would come around me. And when they see me do certain things that they wouldn't, that they felt like they didn't have a skill set to do, they felt comfortable being around me, because it was like I would practice, but I was practicing for a different result. I was practicing out of a need for help, really. You know, it was really a challenge for a need for help. But I said, hey, man, you know, I'm going to take steps and put my best foot forward and not be emotional, but not be so detached that it creates an unhealthy imbalance in my own life. So I had to take those steps towards learning those things, man, having proper time management and all types of things that came as I started to walk in my journey, in my footsteps of trying to develop an understanding, a knowledge, and a wisdom of who I was, who I'm trying to become, and what I was doing at that time. So then I get into the keyboard aspect and I start playing. But what's the point? The point is that a lot of people that would come to service that didn't see me that often, they didn't know I was the keyboard player. So they would see me in the yard. And a lot of times, a lot of guys, man, people that are in those same circumstances going through things throughout the day, they would be inviting me. A lot of people say, hey, man, yo, won't you come to service? They got a keyboard player there. And this time and time, I'm like, I am the keyboard player. Like, yo, man, you look different. And then I would question myself, well, what makes me look different? Am I giving off a negative? Is it my surroundings? What is it? Am I looking like a hypocrite to myself, to the degree where if it's something that I need to straighten up, what is it? that I need to straighten up. So I'm being open to criticism. And it was actually criticism. Like, they just was, you know, in the course of their experience and their journey and life issues that's coming, the challenges that they're facing, they just, it's like when they went to service, that wasn't their focus. They were coming there. They came there for their needs. They heard the word. They heard the music. But they really was not paying attention to who was actually doing what, and what it was a fact of. They came there to get help for their needs as well. So it was like, wow, I didn't even know you was the keyboard player. Man, let me see you there. And then I'll be there on Sunday, and then they'll walk up to me and say, yo, brother Shaw, man, yo, this is my word. I've never even, all this time, I've been coming in here, I didn't even realize that you was the keyboard player. And, you know, so what is my point is that nothing happens overnight, man. You know, a work is in progress and it's in motion. If we begin to take in consideration what is it that we are trying to achieve, and what is the goal that we're trying to accomplish with ourselves, and what we're trying to contribute to ourselves in the manner of how we want others to treat us, how we want others to see us, and what we're trying to reflect into the community, in the home, in the homes, or even just in our life journey, man. That in essence is important more than watching the person who's trying to get out of poverty. He may be the basketball player because he's trying to get better results for his life. Because when we look at ourselves, man, and the urban communities, it's easy to tell what options lie ahead for us. There aren't too many options. And this is the reason why I focus on the role play in society, because our roles have been designed for us to fail. And it has been designed for us not look in the areas of what others are achieving. Like, we look in our neighborhoods, and a lot of the neighborhoods are strategically designed for us not to have economic development in those areas because of a trade-off, political trade-offs. Like, most stores you'll see in certain urban communities, it's very common to see, I wouldn't say use the term outsiders, I would say people from abroad who are in those neighborhoods, people from the Middle East, people from Asia. And this is the political trade-off, because they're saying, like, hey, basically, listen, I'm just in this neighborhood, you know, but I didn't really, the political trade-off is that when they got their immigration card, they received the benefits that black people will not receive, such as loans, such as the ability to get a loan to open up a storefront in that neighborhood, because of the simple fact that the banks will not allow it, the redlining and all of these other policies. So we don't understand the power of the dollar, and so this affects our role in our society, where we the world sees us as a brand in terms of a commodity and exchange. They say, hey, you know, because of how we've been treated, the world looks at us in the same aspect. And the world realized that we have the power, but they also realized that, hey, we're not going to hold their hand because no one is holding our hand. We wanted to come over here just like they were forced to come over here, but we're over here based on politics. Their politics is an exchange for an exchange. They say, hey, listen, I'm over here. I got my green card. They gave me a $50,000 loan. They told me that all I got to do is set up in one of these urban communities. They already gave me the location. And a lot of these people, they have no problem with living inside of the store and sharing the duties, their role, and developing their community for the community. So a lot of times, the money does not circulate within the urban community several times. It goes at least where dollar in the black community only probably circulates one time or barely if that, but it really doesn't. I don't even think it circulates one time. So I'm just only saying that skill set and role plays a lot on our ambition and our intentions and what we aim for, the goals that we seek to achieve. What I come to realize is that when we have examples like I became an example, and I did hear that when we become the example for ourselves, we not only become the example for ourselves, but we become examples for others, man, for others to say, hey, like prime example. I mean, during my time, I have to be honest, like for me to come out into society and which I don't have the mentality that anyone owes me anything, but I do have to come to a realization of a respect for you, Dr. Robinson, and members of the Neo Nation, because I have to also look at the fact that during my incarceration for 5, 10, 15, 20, 25 years, 30, you guys were out here developing social ties, social networks with the community, developing programs that allowed you the opportunity to build rapport with people and establish, you know what I'm saying, credibility, so to speak, for creating opportunity and economic development and a push towards change. So that in essence is very important, man, to understand the role, you know, my role at that time and wherever we're at in our lives, period, whether we're here, there, Alaska, anywhere in the part of the world, we must understand our options, what's available, and seek to broaden our mind states, seek to broaden our horizon, seek to broaden broaden our skill set so that we can advance our roles in society and not accept the placement that has been handed down to us. I think all nationalities have to fight for the identity of their role in society, man. And when I look at the aspect of how our roles, man, so many times we have a identity crisis. There's so many issues, and those issues have been created in the urban community by design because of the lack of accessibility to certain resources. So it kind of like our roles now when it comes to the aspect of skill set of trying to find ourselves, the options that have been created by design, it's not uncommon to choose basketball. It's not uncommon to choose welfare. It's not uncommon to choose what's available. You know, I'll give you a prime example. It's not uncommon to choose a worker's mentality when you ask a person, what are they going to college for? I can ask a person who's going to, I can ask two people, what are they going to college for? And I can ask them what colleges they're going to, and I can pretty much make an assessment of what their role is going to be in the next 5 to 10 years, especially when you got certain schools, Ivy League schools, that teach ownership. They have a fraternity or community that helps to give them job placement and say, yo, listen, even if you fail college, the fact that you're in here and you know me, I got a job for you wherever company that I work for, because we're trained to run companies. And then you ask another person that's going to a community college with their aspirations, you got to remember that the laws of probability there in terms of numbers, the numbers game, is that it's not common for an individual to go to certain community, certain, if it's not an Ivy League school, to go to community college or universities that have an entrepreneurial mindset of independence. It's like a black boy or a girl living in a hostile environment, and then they're not exposed to a middle class economic system. Once they are exposed to a underclass economic system, they're going to think with a worker's mentality. They're not going to think about entrepreneurship. That might be the dream, but it may not be something realistic or attainable because of the options that's given to them. They go into parks that they see, boom, there's a thing where they may have to watch there's a hostile environment, violence is taking place. That's one thing. So it's not just a thing where people are living amongst each other trying to get out. They have to watch they have to be careful for their own lives from stray bullets. And it doesn't necessarily mean a person has to be involved with anything just for being in the environment. It's just the law of probabilities that you got a hostile environment. You don't have too many resources that an individual can look towards to point to, this is my example, or this is what I want to become. The examples are right there. I'm going to play basketball. I'm going to stay there more. There's no financial literacy. There's no financial education there. There's no entrepreneurial education there. So when you look at these things, you look throughout the day of what most individuals are having children, becoming parents, and they don't know how to fulfill the role of parenthood. The even the aspect of most of the relationships that go on in the urban community are tied up not based on partnerships, but it's based on aspects of who's a breeder and who's a provider. So you have, especially with the event of women empowerment with the liberal ideas, which is now giving women an opportunity to trade off their familyhood in terms of being independent women, business owners, and so on and so forth, and what they say the liberalism ideologies. Now it becomes a thing where women, a lot of women, and I'm making a general statement which is false, but I'm just saying a lot of women nowadays are buying into the ideology that I don't need a man. All I need him for is I want a boy or a girl. He's a breeder. He looks good. I want the baby with the nice hair, with the nice eyes. And if he doesn't look a certain way, I don't even need him. All he needs to do is be a breeder. And if he's not a breeder, maybe he's just a provider. And the communication is so out of whack that our roles, so this takes time, man. It takes time to the degree where there's so many things that influence us, man. Even our relationships and understanding how it's just deep, man. Because education plays a role too, and the lack of so. It's just when you share what you share with me, I just look at it from the aspect that we shouldn't be beating ourselves up. We should always look ahead and understand the principle that what's in motion stays in motion, man. And we should always strive to bring out the best in ourselves and work with what we have. And that's my overall point. So that we can fulfill our roles in society as an individual to participate in the whole. And that's staying connected. But we must first find ourselves and finding out what do we want our roles to be? What do we want? What do we want for ourselves that we want for our brothers? What do we want for ourselves that we want for our sisters? I've met so many people, and I've come to realize that through education and reevaluating my goal and certain things and acquiring different skill sets, that a lot of people don't even compliment or want to share in what I have. I remember when I was so happy to learn how to interpret for the deaf community. And when it was just so wonderful, the experience to say, wow, I understand how to communicate with people that are deaf. I shared it with a few people and they was like, yo, I ain't went all of that. And I said, yo, bro, you trying to get money? I said, sister, you trying to get money? Said, yeah, but that's for people that's handicapped. I said, y'all have a misperception or misunderstanding. You haven't been educated. This is not about, I said, listen, you watch the news? Say, yeah. I said, do you pay attention to certain broadcasts that have in the little box in the screen people who are interpreting for the deaf? Yeah. I said, well, what if I told you that person gets up to $300 an hour to interpret? Would you still be interested? And it was like they were afraid to restate their first answer to say, damn, I already put my foot in my mouth and said, nah, I'm not interested. Then it became a thing. Well, yo, what does it, you know, does it take to? I need something quick. Does it? How much time does it take? And I said, wow, it's a hell of a challenge. I said, do you realize that you could be a freelancer and get paid $50 up between $50 and $75 an hour just being a freelancer? Even and this is on a community level. Even if you're not certified, then it was like, wow, that's a lot of money. This time and third. So I'm just saying, man. Overall, basically, man, let's get it together, man. Like we have to first get ourselves together before we begin to even network with members who are not like-minded and who do not support. And this is where I come. This is where I went, and that's why I mentioned social dynamics, because on a science level, when we're looking at social dynamics, we have to understand that certain things, man, just rise above color lines, man, and it affects everybody. Ignorance affects everybody as a whole. It's just like ignorance, coronavirus, AIDS, not AIDS, HIV. Certain things it doesn't discriminate, and ignorance is one of the most deadliest forms of warfare. And that to me is the most powerful tool known to man that can destroy a person and break them down from their existence, man. And a lot of times, you know, it's just sad. Ignorance kills, man, and it just wipes out a whole generation, because what a person thinks is right, it's not necessarily what is right. What it appears, it's not necessarily what it is. And we're influenced by planets. We're influenced on a higher level. This is a thing where we have to actually be careful of who we don't even we like on a general statement, or making a general statement, generalization. Even though it's a hasty generalization, but on a level is that. Ignorance is so rampant. It's a culture. It's a culture to the degree where, you know, when we get in a conversation, we get in relationships with people, we don't even know how to keep certain things business. We're crossing lines that don't even have to be crossed, or we're thinking things that shouldn't even be thought about. You know, I've met females and just offered them an opportunity or just put on the table an opportunity and said, yo, let's hang out. Like, you know, I'm not trying to get in your pants. And and they're like, well, what we going to hang out for? Like, I was like, yo, just go out to a restaurant and eat and let's talk. Let's have a, well, why don't you text me? What are we talking about? And I'm like, well, are you interested? See, cause I know I have something to talk about, and I know that there's things that concern me. So I'm like, are you interested in starting your own business? Have you ever thought about it? It's so many isms and schisms involved. So I come to realize that when I look at life, man, life is so short. and things are moving. People are moving. The other nationalities are moving, and they're moving with a purpose. It's not to say that they don't go through the same things that we go through, but we have a lot of things that we need to get together. And I believe that people are like-minded are more likely to make things happen, as opposed to people who are trying to, who are uncertain of where they're directed, or more concerned about how other people view them in terms of how they feel they should fit in. And I believe that that deserves healing on the part of an individual who, you know, most of us, man, we face that. We face that from the outside culture, and we face that from our own culture. And we have to break that stereotype. We have to break that stigma. And that has to be an individual approach. And that comes from appreciating what we have to get what we want to get. And with that said, man, I mean, if you have anything to say, I don't, you know, I just wanted to just tie it in with our roles and skill set and our roles in society. It's not always we media and other broadcasting networks. This is what business is. It promotes a subjective viewpoint on how the viewer sees another person's life and it has an influence, but this is just a business, and it's subjective, and it causes an individual to say, to compare themselves to something that's unreal, right? So now I look at a certain show, and I look at it and say, damn, and I compare myself to where I'm at in my life, and then I might look at it and say, like, hey, man, you know, that's not real for me. No, of course, a person who's practiced to be an NBA star, they practice for that. That's what they wanted to do. They were in the right places, in the right. But NBA stars, if we look at the track record of anything, there's one thing we have to understand and learn from a lot of people's lives, is that we must always have backup plans and other skill sets and diversity, a diverse plan of saying, if this one fails, what is my plan B? You know what I'm saying? If plan B fails, what is my plan C? So I'm going to let you, expound on that, Dr. Robinson, and I don't know.
No, that was great. That was great information. I'm going to go into the other side of the commercial break. I'm going to bring on some of the callers in as well. Actually, Ronald A. Robinson, they always got great information. Always got great follow-up. I just want to give a certain public service announcement. Job. You know that Mrs. Helena Owen still looking to hire $20 an hour and better. It doesn't matter your background, education, experience, high school dropout, just got out of correctional facility, felony convicted, whatever your situation is, if you want to work. That's the quality. That's the requirement. A desire to want to work and to want to put the work in. And you can call Mrs. Helena Owens at 718-504-6861, and just let her know you heard it on the Jaquan Diaz Neo Nation Weekly Conversations. Also, we want you not to forget the petition. We want you to go to the website positivechangepc.com, positive, change, change, P like Peter, C like Cat, .com. This is the 2.3 trillion, I think it's 2.3 trillion or billions of dollars, I can forget now, that's coming to America to develop clean energy. All countries are trying to give out fossil fuels. They're trying to detoxification for the environment. They're trying to clean it up, the ozone layer, the A layers, and all them layers they got up there. You scientific people, y'all know what's up going up. Y'all know what's up with that. And so we're taking another 20 years, 30 years to clean up the environment, put more flowers, more grass in the parks, beautify the environment, better do the roads over again. Biden is putting a lot of money into infrastructure and outward structure and all the structures that we have. He's rebuilding the bridges, the roads, the tunnels, the train stations, and trying to redevelop America. So all that's a part of this new clean energy that's coming in. Solar energy is coming in. They're starting solar farms, which has really been a tremendous blessing to the farmers who have lost their farms because they cannot agriculturally, organically grow anymore. They can't compete with the major growers in Central South America and other countries that are bringing in fruits and vegetables from outside. And the major supermarkets are buying, organic supermarkets are buying, and there are supermarkets that are considered like a warehouse. Everything is online. You order your food online, and they deliver it to your house. So the competitiveness for the small to mid-size and some large-size farmers, they can't compete, and it's putting the farmers out of business. So America said, okay, let's do solar farming. Let's give you guys some money to develop that, because that'll be a tremendous help to the country, as well as to be a financial opportunity for you guys as well. So that's happening. Neo Nation has an office up in Mount Vernon, New York, and 6 Gramerton Avenue, Suite 623. We're considering and looking forward to talking to young entrepreneurial lawyers who are looking to come out. You just passed the bar, and if you got your JD, I know your license, you're ready to practice, and we're looking to open up a law firm with young lawyers, young attorneys, civil law, criminal law, judicial law, and consumer law, and whatever types of laws there are. There's a family law, you know, there's so much of it. But we're looking to see if we can put together a nice group of young African-American, young attorneys. You're just coming out of law school. You probably, if you did had your turn already where you didn't get your JD, but you got your law degree and you had to do a year or 2 years understudy in a law firm, and now you're released and you're considering, you know, your entrepreneurial spirit, and you're considering starting your own law firm. We have an office that we have space available, and we want to consider talking to you about the possibilities of what we can do together. We're exploring many, 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 many opportunities to get this thing together and make it happen. So we're opening up for ideas. We're looking to do a whole bunch of stuff, and you know, we're trying to get it together as much as we can. And Brother Shalik is a great part of that, helping us get that together and develop that whole process. Because, yeah, y'all, the old man here, July, August of this year, I'm sorry, like young people say, chilling out. I'm sorry to chilling out, retire, semi-retire, whatever you want to call it. But I need to get on somebody's boat, somebody's yacht with a fishing rod, and just pull me on some big fish and take pictures and send it back to Shalik so he can see I'm in Tahiti with these women around me. My pina colada, and they wave.
That might be that. Listen, I might go viral with that, man. And make sure you got your arms, you know what I'm saying? Get your arms right in your stomach. Get the six pack.
Oh yeah, man. I'm gonna do one of them Steve Harvey deals, you know, go on a great diet and go to the gym and puff, what you guys call it, buff up, and you know, and see what happens. You know, at my age, anything can happen. I saw a guy, he was in a commercial. Guy was about 68, 69, and he was doing a commercial for this formula that makes you get a six pack, make you have a hard body, you know, muscular.
Yeah.
And the body was good, but the face was still old.
Yeah.
You know, it's like he had, yeah, like the body, like somebody took his head and put it on the body, you know.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. I don't want that to happen now. You know what I'm saying? I want to try to put everything into, I maybe have to put my face so I can lift up weights with my face or something.
Yeah.
You know, like, put my face so I won't look dumb.
Yeah, they used to have that. I remember that. They used to have that at the carnivals. They got a picture of a person with a nice body, and then you put your face in and take a picture. Yeah.
Oh, there's a famous bodybuilder, African-American guy, was around Holland for years. He was a worldwide bodybuilder champion. He was 77, 78, and fantastic shape. I mean, this man was muscular. I mean, for his age, he was in fantastic shape. He could best a bench press 600-700, you know.
Yeah.
So he was excellent. I wouldn't want to meet him in a dark alley. Brother was tough,
yeah.
But the face did not match the body, but he was all that. I mean, when you see him with the clothes on, you say, "Why?" Everybody said, "Wow, he looks good," you know. But when he went to competition, well, you know, you got just the shorts on, and you're doing your poses and whatnot. Great guy, great wonderful person. He encouraged everyone to eat right. He encouraged older people, you know, get off the pig and the hog and all that stuff. And brother from South Carolina as well. And he was offering everybody to, you know, build up their bodies and get their bodies in shape and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And fantastic. I mean, you know, I guess as long as you leave your clothes on, there's nobody, like, "Oh, look at me,"
yeah.
You know. But, you know, it happens. But I'm looking to do something great. You know, I'm looking to chill for a minute. I'm looking to get spiritually in contact with myself, get physically in contact with myself, and, you know, and venture out. Do some traveling, you know. I don't know with the pandemic and everything. I might not be able to travel abroad. I might just do the American thing, the American trip, and see what happens there. But that's all to come up, people. That's all to come up. It might happen. You know how it is. You plan to do something and it don't happen. And you got to go, okay, next year, you know. But I ain't going to be doing it too long, you know. It's about time. I'm tired, getting tired. Mentally tired,
yeah.
People, and physically tired, you know. And so I know, you know, and I know I got something. And I'm not giving up. I'm not giving up on the movement. I'm not giving up on the social, economic, and political. I'm going to be doing a lot of stuff. I'm going to sort of get out the – I'm going to sort of just give up the business in a sense. Or 30% business and maybe 70% socioeconomic development, which is what I want to do. My pet peeve, and I made a pact with God or whatever, is to do something economically for African American people. And the only reason I said that, because we get the worst of everything. You know, we got the first fired, last hired. You know, social services, whatever it is, we at the epitome of the bottom of everything. And so I just want to pick some brothers and sisters up before I leave, you know, this earth, and my earth day comes. Before I leave, I just want to some young man, some young woman to remember me as I change their life. You know, it's wonderful. It's wonderful. Because God has a purpose for all of us. And I feel like everybody needed to walk into the divine purpose of God for them. You know, I got my purpose, and I don't expect cats to jump in and say, yeah, Ron, your purpose is good, man. Let me get some of that. No. This is my thing. I tell preachers all the time. They say, Ron, well, you know, I can't do that. That's not my – good. It's my thing. Do what I want to do. I can't tell you who to sock it to. So it's my thing. And I'm going to do what God has given me to do with my spirit, because I'm concerned about young people. I'm concerned about the children. I'm concerned about what kind of society is going to be left when I leave here. So I have a tremendous amount of concerns. And, you know, I just feel that's the way I feel about it. And I'm going to, you know, like Brother Shalik said, you know what? If that's your thing and that's what you want to do, you know, you do it, you know. And, yes, I have been let down in a lot of cases, but that ain't going to stop me from doing what I'm doing. You know, one down, two to go, you know. you know, what if three strikes you're out? If I strike out one, I still got a third strike that I can work with. So my plans, you know, to do something great. But I need to chill, too, you know, me and my girlfriend. You know, we got things we want to do as well. And maybe I'll come back, ring on my finger, marry. I don't know what's going to happen, what's ringing in the future. But I want y'all to know that I'm still going to be working. I'm still going to be talking. I'm still going to be fighting, and with more gusto, you know, with a couple of dollars behind me. It'll just give me more strength to keep going on and to get mentally, spiritually, physically connected with the Creator. And that's going to be wonderful as well. A little meditation, some yoga, maybe, you know, get into some things that get you into power. I got a good friend from Korea, know for years. He's an acupuncture doctor. And he's always telling me to go to South Korea with him, and he's going to show me all these wonderful things and put these needles all over my body. And I have been to acupuncture as well. I've done it with him, and it's quite interesting. So I'm going to do a little something, see how it all works out. So we just stay tuned. Stay tuned for part two, part three, when I keep giving y'all updates on what's happening. You know, by the grace of God, we'll work these things out. But right now, we're going to go to a commercial break. I gave the service announcements. We're going to go commercial break. We're going to come back. We're going to bring on the man himself, Ronald A. Robinson. Always a good brother. Always have some great knowledge to spread with us. Always give us some jewels. And we look forward to talking to him in a minute. Just listen to the commercial, and we'll be right back.
Network. We on live. We in your speakers. And on your mind. On your mind. 10 o'clock. 10 o'clock. We on time.
Yes, this is Lenny Williams. I'm out here in Oakland, California.
I'm Lisa Lay. I'm on payment with the NWA, Dr. Dre, and Eazy-E.
It's Just Will, Black Pearl Entertainment artist, newly signed to I Am Jesus Records. You're listening to the Entertainment Worldwide Network with Don Jr., CEO. Coming to you live, this is business, so pay attention.
Yo, it's your boy LV the Slap Fiend, and I'm over here chilling with my guy, The Plug, Don Jr., CEO, Entertainment Worldwide Network Radio. You dig?
What's good, homie? This your boy, Big D.
It's your folk, Checking Traps.
This your peach, Captain Mac.
I let your boy, Boss Lena.
It's your boy, Brick Boy Rico.
It's your boy, Joe Dirt.
Hey, yo, what up? It's your boy, Buddha, a.k.a. Buddy Mouse.
Yo, what's good? It's the Vic Percy Jones.
And Big Shell is now in your area.
Yo, this your boy, Mr. Hampton.
It's your girl, Lady Duet.
It's just Rich Cates.
This your bro, JT, Mr. Guaranteed the Rick.
Yo, this your dude, Insane G.
What up? This your boy, Jihad, a.k.a. J Hood.
Yo, this your folks, Young Birds.
Yo, this your folk, GB Cooley.
Yo, this is Mike G Jungle. Hey, what it do? It's your boy, Size Money.
This your boy, Big Chad Domingo.
Bye bye. Salute the big dog.
This your boy Jay Futuristic.
This your folk Lil Raheem. You dig?
I am Geronimo Beals. Off the deep end. Getting blessings. Wise Life Records. And you're listening to the Entertainment Worldwide Network with Don Jr., the CEO, coming to you live.
Hey, what it do? This is Charlie Boy, the Versatile Charlie.
You're listening to the hottest radio station.
Are you ready to be inspired, uplifted, enlightened, and entertained? Judge Joe Brown is an all-American judge, lawyer, and television personality. Judge Joe Brown was raised in the Crenshaw District of Los Angeles, California. Overcoming the harsh streets of L.A., he graduated at the top of his class from Dorsey High School. He then went on to earn his bachelor's degree in political science at UCLA. Judge Joe Brown is a member of the Phi Alpha fraternity and became the first African-American prosecutor in Memphis, Tennessee. He then opened his own practice before becoming a judge on the state criminal court of Shelby County, Tennessee. Judge Joe Brown was then thrusted into the national spotlight for sitting over James Earl's last appeal for race conviction for the assassination of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. He then caught the attention of producers of Judge Judy and is now the arbiter of his own arbitration-based reality court TV show that has been recorded for over 16 years. This show is syndicated on Bounce and available to millions of homes across America. Judge Joe Brown has been on a mission to educate the leaders of the future and has started a movement titled SAG Pants Equals a SAG Mind. This is a call to action. Let's talk and change the world. Judge Joe Brown is ready to speak at your next event. Follow Judge Joe Brown at Judge Joe Brown TV on Twitter. This message has been brought to you by 2 Deep, owner of KFSM Radio and Bloody Rain Productions, and Pastor Don Jr., CEO of the winning team. Contact 2 Deep at 337-936-5176 or Pastor Don Jr. at 818-358-5722.
The NEO Project is a business network collective of professional CEOs, community leaders, doctors, recording artists, label owners, lawyers, judges, business owners, entrepreneurs, recording artists, and major connections across the globe. For more information, visit www.myprojectneo.org or call 800-249-8830. We have a live conference call, Join in the Conversation, hosted by Dr. Rev Robinson Sr. and Dr. Winborn. Share your ideas about growing your business. New ideas, featured partners, video promo, social media, exposure, rotation, profit sharing, meetups at your establishment. Join the conference call on Blog Talk Radio Thursday and Friday, 7 p.m. East Coast, 4 p.m. West Coast time. Sunday, 7 p.m. East Coast, 4 p.m. West Coast time. Live Talk with Eva. Call 347-857-1311. Press 1 to speak on freeconferencecall.com. Saturday, 12 p.m. East Coast, 4 p.m. West Coast time. Call into 515-604-9642. Access code 910488. If you have Metro PCS, hashtag T-Mobile, or Boost Mobile, call 206-451-6043, then 515-604-9642, access code 910488. If you have Metro PCS, T-Mobile, or Boost Mobile, dial 206-451-6043, then 515-604-9642, access code 910488. Financial consulting and investments, call DSNR Consultants LLC Corporate Office, 914-363-9007. Text 518-866-7605. Email RevRunRobinson, RevRun11 at gmail.com. Shout out to Pastor Don, Jr. CEO, and Keisha Miss, CEO, the 300 Elite members, also 3 Max and a Nerd, and Andrea's Talent Management.
Fashion is SoSeductiveLive.com. Log on to SoSeductiveLive.com. SoSeductiveLive has the best apparel from Gucci, Prada, Fendi, Guess, Rolex, Nike, Tiara Michelle, True Religion, Louis Vuitton.
Greetings, I'm Miss K, CEO and founder of SoSeductive Shoes and Fashion. I started my company to keep you informed. Log on to SoSeductiveLive.com. I believe in fashion, so SoSeductive is fun and needs to be seen. I want to inspire people just like you. I want someone to look at me and say, because of you, I didn't give up. Log on to SoSeductiveLive.com. I am Miss K, CEO and founder of SoSeductive Shoes and Fashion. You can find me on your favorite social network at Keisha Miss CEO. Log on to SoSeductiveLive.com.
There's a lot to learn in the music business, and without a teacher, it gets even harder and very costly. Introducing the Green Dragon Record Breaking Blueprint. Don Jr., CEO of the Entertainment Worldwide Network, has put together a detailed book to take your career to the next level in the entertainment business. The Green Dragon Record Breaking Blueprint will teach you the do's and don'ts of the entertainment industry, starting from the beginning to the end. The Green Dragon Record Breaking Blueprint covers the topics of business plan, logo design, CD design layout, sales, radio airplay, CD marketing strategy, massive emailing, CD sales one sheet, press kit, media kit, online media kit, internet marketing, MP3 online distribution, hip-hop blog sites, hip-hop magazines, hip-hop DVDs, mixtapes, street teams, music publishing and royalties, music lawyers, tour booking, and more. The Green Dragon Record Breaking Blueprint is available only by contacting Don Jr., CEO, at 818-358-5722 or email donjrceo@gmail.com.
Do you need more exposure? Do you need more fans? Are you planning to be wealthy and successful in business? The 365 Days of Radio campaign is a business training program teaching you how to build your brand, business, product, or service. How to meet and network with people in other cities. How to make connections with other business owners. And how to talk about your business on an open platform. All the tools you need before you speak to investors, advertisers, and or sponsors. Are you ready to receive money and make it to the next level? Education is the key to success. And experience is the best teacher. Learn from the comfort of your own personal remote location. The 365-day radio campaign is a business training program. For business training, tuition, schedules, and fees, please call Pastor Don Jr., CEO, and the winning team at 818-358-5722. That's right, Pastor Don Jr., CEO of the winning team at 818-358-5722.
Work. We all live. We in your speakers. And on your mind. 10 o'clock. We on time.
dangerous times, and you never know when you'll need a lawyer. Introducing Legal Shield. Get legal help 24/7. For over 47 years, people from all walks of life have joined our community and our mission to empower and protect. Wait, there's more! Become a sales associate and watch your commission grow with every sale. We are working together to change the negatives into positives. Business owners, entrepreneurs, recording artists, and major corporations all across the globe. We focus on business education, advertising, so that everyone can see the return on their investment. Visit our website at robinsonir38.wearelegalshield.com. Or for more information, contact Dr. Ron Robinson at 914-363-9007 or 203-515-7167 or 914-530-5876. Again, visit us at our website at www.robinsonr38.wearelegalshield.com.
And we're back. We're back. We're going to bring on the man himself, Ronald A. Robinson. We ain't going to talk about the stealing of the name. A is for another person took my name, but we ain't going to talk about that either. We're going to bring him on and get some of his wisdom. Get some of his
I plead to the fifth.
That's what they all say.
My brother, if you get a six pack, I'm gonna have a 10 pack. You know,
Corona beer.
Yeah, yeah, a lot of more Coronas. You know, more Coronas.
Valentine or ale or whatever. Coke 45. What pack of beer you find?
Whatever. It's gonna fit the mother four pack somewhere. You know. Listen, you know,
holla.
Hey, brother, you know, love you all, and my brother, you're on point so much so that there's some things that we have to learn, you know, in our enthusiasm and so on. But one thing from a historical standpoint and a psychological historical standpoint, you know, you mentioned breeders. Okay, back in the day, slavery, that's what they used us for, you know,
right.
Breeders. And through that move, that psychological and physical move, we lost respect for ourselves and for our women. And it extended itself to today. There's a universal saying, says, don't cast your pearls among swine. And that comes from the women, you know, who get sold on a bill of goods, you know, and they put everything out there, you know, as in business, you know, and so on, who you associate with, who you have around you. You know, we're so busy at times trying to impress people and to inform people that they don't have the grasp or the understanding, you know, I don't want to use the words intellect or intelligence, understanding or competence, really, of what they receive. It's like when you sell somebody something and then you tell them how to do it. Because I've had clients and I've done that, you know, and so on. They say, well, we don't need you. We don't need you. You know, we got somebody else, and they try to do it themselves. And then when they mess up, they got to call you back to blame it on somebody else. You know, we need to stick around and stick together with people that spirits are the same, you know, or people who are hungry for truth, you know, and a good spirit. And those things have to be weighed. You know, that doesn't happen in a minute or a day or what have you. These things have to be tested, you know, and it takes time. So we have to get into that so that we can make better duplicates of ourselves, you know, with our children, our nieces and nephews. You know, if they're around, it's like the Ashkenazi Jews do. They take their kids to work. You know, they're always around them. They're learning. They're teaching. You know, whether their culture, you know, their faith, and stuff, morality, you know, and so on. And this is a time effort. We have not, some of us, I would say, all of us, because I don't know. We have not put we used to put that time in a long time ago. But we're so busy, you know, seeing who can outshine each other or who can more impress each other, we miss the purpose, you know, of life in general, you know, to reproduce yourself, you know, and depending on who you're with or who you're surrounded with, you know, you can reproduce a beast. You know, you reproduce a liar, a thief, you know, and you did your best, but all they were around you is to steal from you. You know, I used to write proposals and stuff for 10,000 hen laying operations, steel companies, steel fabrication companies and stuff, and so on, and show it to people who I'm supposedly trying to help, and find out that they were stealing what information that I had. And they would always fail. A thief never gets rich. Thief never gets rich. He's always stealing. He's got to steal all the time, you know, and so on. So that is what life, whether it's the spiritual or the natural, you know, that's with life. So we have to be careful. We want to help everybody. We want to see all of us as a people rise up, and I do too. But there's some that just won't. They won't cut the grade. They won't cut the mustard. They'll hold you back, bring you down, give you a bad reputation, and so on. So we have to be very conscious and intuitive about, you know, who's around us and who we're talking to. You know, this is something that we've been going through for years. Our egos get involved, you know, because I got this and you ain't, or I'm so smart, you know, and I can impress you with, you know, what you needed to impress. And as you were talking about, say, like making money, who you need to impress without giving up the jewels is the person that you're selling to. You give him enough so that he says, hey, I can trust this man or this woman, and I like to do business with it on a small scale. And you develop trust from there. You know, and that's how we got to approach our people. We can't give them everything. You know, little bit at a time. You know, it may be just the fact of, listen, I need you here for the day, and I want you to sweep up. How right. Consistent is his, you know? Well, I need you here tomorrow, you know, and I want you to take out the garbage.
Right. That's the truth.
You know, and so on. So those things, you know, I remember when I first got into construction I was working for a plumber. You know, and the joke was, bring me a bucket of steam.
Right.
You know, or a brick stretcher, you know, and so on. So we have to feed people little at a time. If we see someone that has potential, that potential will show itself because he's always going to be there. He's always going to be around. He's hungry, or she's hungry to learn, you know, and to adapt, you know, and so on. I used to have like 24 people working for me back in the day. And there was one guy wanted to be a supervisor. And I said, well, you know, give me your profile. What can you do? You know, how can you run this job in this office? Well, I can do plumbing. I can do this. I can do that. I can do that. I can do that. And I'm saying, well, I got men that can do all of that. What do I need you for? What's your management skills?
Right. Yeah. Right.
And so on. So we have to test people. And sometimes when you wind up testing them and they show good fruit, like was afforded to me, and you show good fruit, people will be willing to invest a little bit more. A little bit more. you know, a little bit more until you get to the point. They had, I lost a job making $15 an hour. A good friend of mine sent me to another job. I was making $35 an hour. That's most money. And this was in the 90s. That's more money than I had ever seen or made. You know, but once I got on the job doing framing and sheetrocking, what have, which I thought I could do, I found out home improvement was different than commercial work. They reduced my salary from $35 an hour to $22 an hour. I had never made $22. But they saw fit to keep me. All right?
Right.
I became better. You know, and as I became better and learned the job, how to frame, you know, how to read blueprints and so on, they brought me in the office and said, you know, we need you to do quantitative takeoffs. You know, so you got blueprints, you take off for material, you know, and you expedite that, you know, and then they wanted me to estimate. Now you got to figure out everything by square foot and so on. So it takes time. Even you brothers that are just getting out, you know, and you have all this knowledge because you focused in on something that kept you straight, man, made a lot of people hate you, you know. But it kept you straight, all right? You haven't been out here for a long time. So as energetic as you are, you know, and what have you, want to get out here and share everything, you know, and what have you, and you know, better than sliced bread. But you just got out here.
Right.
So now you have to relearn because what you can't bring out, bring into where you want to go, to where you're going.
Right.
You know, and so on. And this is where we all miss sometimes because, you know, we're a shooting star. A shooting star is beautiful. It's fast. It's high. And then in a few minutes, it burns out.
Right.
It's not steady. You know,
right.
It's not steady. You know, and it took a while for me to understand that and practice that because most of my education was on the job and in the street. I went to school later, you know, at a later age.
Right.
Know? But these are the things that you have to think about and be careful who you talk to, who you give information to, you know, because someone will steal from you. Someone will check you. And I expect to be checked all the time, you know, but I'm going to win all the time unless you know something I don't know, you know.
Right.
But this is what you – this is what we have to deal with, and it's a sprint, you know, or a walk, you know,
right.
It's not a run, you know, and so we have all this energy and enthusiasm and everything else, and sometimes you have to have somebody to grab you and hold you back and say, hey, brother, I got you, you know, but, you know, let's slow down a little bit, you know, because this time, and then all the technology and everything else that's going on, well, that's a demon in itself as well. It could be good or evil for you, and give you a false hope.
Right.
You know, because there are people out there that are just ready to cut you up no matter if you got something better than them, and they feel like that you're taking from them, just like any place else, they'll cut your throat. You know, so my thing is just, you know, young brothers, get out there, be careful. We've been through a lot already. You know, you don't want to be able to put yourself back in the situation that you just got out of, which some of us do.
Yeah,
you know?
Of course.
You know, and so on. So, you know, continue doing what you're doing, talking like what you're doing, and continue to be educated. Even by yourself, you know,
right.
You can say something one day and a year from now, you said this thing today, it sounds good and you got jazz on it. And a year from now, you think about it, you say, oh shit, wow, wait a minute.
I said, I can't even believe I said that.
Yeah, I can't believe I said that. Now it's going to different levels. You go back, you say, well, I said that, I just said that, you know, and it came from my spirit. And it sounds good and everybody likes it, you know. But then you think about it and you think about how many levels of that new understanding.
Right.
That new work.
That's right.
That understanding that you
got. Right.
And then as you go through, you see other levels of that, because there's not one level of anything.
And that's the truth. That's the truth.
You know, so you know, that's really all I gotta say. But I love you. I pray for you. You know, keep on keeping on. Just be careful where you cast your pearls.
That's the truth. And one thing I definitely want to encourage the listeners, and I always stress it, you know, because I always use myself as an example, and I want to just say thank you, and God bless you, and I want to encourage the listeners to understand that the most important thing that we must do as individuals, which I am able to be an example of that, is, and the key thing that you just said was surrounding yourself around like-minded people, understanding a person's value and worth, and this is very key to understanding how we can transform our future from the now. You see, everything that we do in now affects us for tomorrow, the next hour, and so on and so forth. And so it's so interesting to know, to understand that, you know, and to understand that I was able to be an example of that. That's why I'm here today. This is not something that I can say. I can say that my future here today and being tied in and connected to a network on a community surrounds and complements the way I think in terms of being productive and purposeful because of the seeds that I planted in my life. See, I walked into my future, and y'all are testimony to that because of the simple fact that my focus was primarily on reaching out beyond the walls and saying to myself, this is how I would like to see myself. And I tried and test myself. I mean, see, my story is so unique in the sense that, like I said, in 2009, I started a nonprofit from being incarcerated. I started a food drive from being incarcerated in 2009. So to be a part of the network and the community that I share with y'all today on Blog Talk Radio, it's a testimony to believing and achieving and casting out those seeds that I would like to see for my future. And mm-hmm. I walked into my future because of my actions that for prior to, you know, so basically I just want to encourage all of the listeners. It came with a price. It came with a price, and the price was I had to redefine, reinvent myself from what was given to me. See, a title was given to me being inside of an institution. A title and a mind state of people who said, no, you can't do that. You can't go, you can't have an Instagram unless you knew somebody that was out there because you ain't never been in the social media world. My Instagram and Facebook and everything was running while I was incarcerated. And I knew nothing about it. I had a nonprofit. I was doing things trying to service the community, plus being involved with members of the community who were being incarcerated and being productive. I was a part of think tanks that helped to create bills for other people right now to this day who are reaping the benefits. The New York State incarcerated individuals are reaping the benefits of prisoners who put together bills for individuals to receive good time. And I was a part of that. So I just say, like, you know, my story doesn't start, it started not only in the now, but it continues because I'm constantly walking into my future. And that's all I want to let the listeners know is that when an individual decides in the next minute, the next second, see, that they want their life to change, then they'll understand that what they put into their mind, they will be able to attract. I don't care what the circumstances is.
I've seen people. The spirit is strong when you're serious.
That's right. You could be in a homeless situation, and I know this to be a fact, all right? Homeless shelters are ran worse than prisons. People are fighting over plugs. People are fighting right now in homeless shelters over plugs who they don't even got enough to eat and they ain't got enough. But the Department of Social Services make sure that they get a phone. Or certain people get them. They're fighting over time slots to recharge their phone. So they're fighting over this. In the shelters, people are stealing. You would think that, damn, people are actually stealing somebody else's clothes and stealing their sneakers.
Yeah,
stealing
in
the shelters. So what I'm saying is that it can any good come out of Nazareth? That's the point that I'm trying to make. And why did I use that as an example? Because you can always see the good in something. It's not always it's a tragedy, but it's something to bring out the goodness in something.
Yeah.
And so that's all I want to share with the – I'm sorry to be long-winded. And that's what I want to share with the listeners is that
– Amen. That's right.
The next second and the next minute, make it count. For all the listeners that's listening, you got tons of YouTube videos. I don't care what the topic is. If you want to educate yourself, it's at the click of a button. You can spend 5-10 minutes. You want to learn about boxing. You want to learn about coding. You want to learn about buying houses with no money down. You want to learn about, but it's their choice. 10-15 minutes, I'm going to spend 15 minutes with certain people on the phone, and they say, I can't do it. And I said, you're doing it right now, but you're not receiving any benefit. The benefit you get with talking to me is that I provide you with investment opportunities because I'm attached to the nonprofit. I'm attached to Neo Nation. See, I'm an investment. I'm an asset. So a person doesn't waste time. They don't waste not a minute or a second with me because I say the first thing I say is this. Have you heard about Clicksters? Have you heard about Clicksters.com? Well, how about you sign up and receive $5 for signing up under Clicksters/31880. Did you hear about the Neo Nation? Did you hear about my project, Neo.org? And for 3-5 minutes, the first thing you say, nah, I never heard of it. And I say, you know what's different between your conversation with me and your conversation with others? They said, what? I said, because I've given you investment opportunities that you cannot go wrong. You got something, Clicksters, which would provide you with $5 and position you to receive $5 just for watching paid advertisements. Then you have my project, Neo, which you can take $8 and a lifetime membership, and you can receive monetary incentives from those programs. Then you can go to Gregory Hall's, reap more benefits, or reap more organization, and you can receive discounts on your phone bill if you contact Gregory Hall. How do I do that? All you have to do is call 347-857-1311, Neo Nation. Plus, there's more opportunities. Are you involved with music? Are you involved with entrepreneurship? Would you like to own your own business? Listen, I do film. I'm on board. I work with these guys. Would you like to get film credit, production credit, executive director? Do you have any equipment that you would like to use with your, what do you want to do? And so 15 minutes with me is an investment opportunity of a lifetime. And what they do with 15 minutes with other people, if they compare and contrast it, they may not get those opportunities. But I give them the opportunity. I'm blessed to be blessed. And in order for me to receive more blessings, I have to be willing to give what I have to others because it's been a blessing. So I just want to thank both of y'all because y'all both got the same last names, you know? Y'all both got the same last names, man. And we all working towards the same
slave
goal.
Master.
Hey, man, listen. Most of the individuals, when you look at the last names, are from slave owners. Smiths, Reeds, Robinsons, it's out there. So, you know, but, you know, to make it serious for a second, it's just that
there you go.
I share it because I'm living it. So when a lot of people, they call in and they say, well, what are you doing? And I'm saying, you just have to understand that this is taking work. I'm still working. I'm still a work in progress. But I'm being positive, purposeful, and productive. This is a journey that I'm still walking. I'm still walking in my story. My story is still being, my narrative is still being written. You know,
there you go.
I haven't mentioned the film projects for next month and the podcast and things that we're planning to both me and Neo Nation, members of the community of Neo Nation, are working towards in terms of developing employment. We have Ms. Owens, who has provided her networking ability to provide opportunities for employment. I've given all of that information to POs, parole officers. I've actually told police officers, you know, even though they're not geared towards that social and economic development, but however, I understand that they're involved with PAL, which is the Police Athletic League, which is designed to so-called promote some type of positive activities in the community. So I said, well, why not? I mean, you can't go wrong, because with all of the stigma that's going on, the negative stigma that's going on with those departments, you may want to jump on board and promote that, because it helps to develop the community and it creates positive effects for change. So, okay, cool. And it helps.
Right.
It helps them to reestablish community ties in the communities in which they're policing. So
there you go.
You know, I'm listening.
So we're going to bring the man in himself that helped develop the Neo Nation and the community programs, the acts of kindness. We're going to bring in the one and only Dr.
Oh, man. Everybody, they right on time tonight. That's a good thing. How's everybody doing?
Everybody's all
right.
I know I'm
hanging in there.
Hey, man, the Lord is blessing me right now.
Listen, this sounds like a wonderful show, guys. Great information. A lot of stuff of being shared. And, you know, just sitting here listening, I'm appreciative of everything that's going on, and just looking back and see how we're growing and how things are coming together. And just listening makes me feel real good. But you know, I have to at least say that it's in my blood. Don't everybody please go by the website and sign up for the reparations program. We've had some good progress. We've had some good things develop. We have finally knocked down all of the nooks and crannies with our production company. That's handling our orders, that's getting our orders out to those of you that have signed up at the $20 level, the $40 level, $80 level, that's got items coming, they're on the way. So as we work out all the nooks and crannies, we want to say to everybody, just keep doing what you're doing. We are so excited. I had a meeting this week with our media production people, and they're putting together almost like a whole documentary of what we're doing with the reparations program. They were here about a week ago to start on it. They did a lot of filming and interviewing me and stuff. And so we're real excited. We're real excited about everything that's going on. We're just telling everybody to stay tuned. Not just stay tuned, stay busy. Those of you that have signed up that's in the system, it's not enough just to sign up. You can't just sign up now and just relax. If you want to make money, you can. I take that back. You can sign up in our system and relax. That's the beauty of it. But you're waiting on the system to do something for you. But we encourage everyone to go out. If you're in the system already, continue to help build the system, build a team under you. We have products. Help us distribute the products and put some money in your pocket as we go along. So there's still plenty of work that still need to be done. There's still plenty of people that need to talk about and need to find out about what we're doing. I don't care how they find out about it. If they find out through Kickstart, through Clickster, through Bitcoin, through Sun Young Moon, it don't matter to me. Just sign up. Just get in the program and watch it begin to work for you. So again, www.myprojectneil.org, or give us a call at 1-888-UNN-CASH. That's 1-888-866-227.
Yeah, you know, talking about you know, reparations, we have the winner in the house as well. We'll give him a little hand there, Professor Governor Hope. As much speak more and get more, and let's go to Maplewood, Georgia.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, he's in the house. Georgia's in the house.
Georgia's in the house.
All right, let's get
what
it
together. What is that, Maplewood, Georgia, maple syrup, Georgia, or something?
It's Marietta. Marietta, Georgia.
You married somebody named Etta?
She's so far off doing that funny.
Hey, Dr. Wimborn, did he say he married somebody named Etta?
All right.
He said, I married Etta.
He married somebody named Etta? That's what I think he said. He said, I married Etta. I'm so happy till I love her too.
That's how rumors get started.
Yeah. No, we're gonna try to marry this money and take things to the next level. All right. And so at any rate, we just want to share with you, and I'll be talking about this more on Saturday. There is a new crypto getting ready to hit the scene, and basically, it's like a kind of a new Ethereum. As quiet as it's kept, Ethereum actually outperformed Bitcoin last year. And the problem was that Ethereum was getting so much business on its blockchain that the gas fees became very exorbitant. So someone invented something, and it's going to be launched on the 1st, on Saturday, called Ether Lite. And without going through all the explanation, get your hands on Ether Lite, all right? Because, see, the thing about cryptos is that they have functionalities for different business tasks. And this Ether Lite has much more functionality than regular Ethereum, and it's going to be the gas fees, as they call them, are going to be much, much cheaper. So people are going to be switching from Ethereum to Ether Lite. So in terms of an investment opportunity, this is definitely something you want to jump on. And let me just say that in terms of taking things to the next level, I'm working on debuting my website for the Reap More Network, as well as doing some very, I guess I'll use the word, interesting video productions to kind of lead people to the website. So a lot of exciting things are happening because I'm ready to like kind of up my ante and take things to the next level in terms of marketing. And in my marketing plans, I definitely am including self-reparations because it's a very important project. So thank you so much for this time. I know you're almost out of time, and thank you, and I'll, to be continued. Thank you.
I also want to let everybody know, and I sent this all out to Dr. Wimborn and Gregory Hall and Brother Shalik and Brother Ronald Robinson. Bolara, Bollara, Bolara is products that clean, sanitize the air, and it has been known to assist with cleaning the air, cleaning up coronaviruses. There's like a necklace you can wear as well that would help you. The treatment of the air and the surfaces in your home on a continuous basis with our NASA have also inspired technology in this Hall of Fame certified space technology that's cleaning the air, keeping out all kinds of bacteria and viruses and things of that nature. And you can alkalize your water with these equipment as well. And so I want everybody to check out Bolara, Bollara. This information to all the brothers and sisters who are part of Neo Nation, because this is a tremendous product to help you stay safe. And I'm telling you, a lot of people are saying with this product, one do not need to get vaccinations and et cetera, because it has a potential to clean up the air around you and change the conditions that you're in. So I want everybody to go on and check out Valara and see what it's about. I want all my brothers and sisters on the Neo Nation to check out Valara for your good health, protection of your environment, your car, your home, your clothes, your water. It's tremendous. And so I want people to check that out. And we will see you tomorrow. We will talk more about everything we talked about tonight. And we're going to talk about Valara a little bit more. The technology is just extremely high-tech. It's fantastic. And we want you to remember, stay encouraged, stay powerful. Don't get down. Don't feel displaced. Because Brother Hezekiah Walker said, it got to get better. Because God is in control. Good night. See you.
Come on, everybody. Put your hands together. It's got to get better. All over the world. Listen to these words. People come.
People come.
People go.
People go.
Your life has been.
Your life has been.
Out of control.
Out of control.
You're confused.
You're confused.
But don't worry.
Don't worry. Your soul. It will get better.
It's gotta get
better. It will get better.
It's gonna be
better. It will get better.
Cause
God is in control,
y'all. Hey. Thank you, Lord. Hey.
Find the praise
within your heart.
Within your heart.
Hold it close.
Hold it close.
Don't ever. Keep on running.